And open your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, the 22nd chapter. New Schofield Bible, page 1031. And we'll be reading responsively verses 35 through 39. Matthew 22, verses 35 through 39, and page 1031. And as we always do, let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Let's read the 39th together. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's pray. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to gain something from the service that will help us in the coming week, that will help us to be of help to yet others. And so we need thy power. We need something from the man of God, and we trust you to use him and to help us and to use us as well. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Several months ago, I wrote a sermon much like the one I'm going to bring tonight, but I didn't feel like I'd exhausted the subject or said all I should say about it, or even didn't feel like I had done it justice. And so I want to speak tonight, not on the same subject, but along the same line. I want to speak on the subject, the two greatest sins that one can commit. Our Heavenly Father, here we are again, same people, same preacher, same need. So we come to you begging like we always do. Help us to talk in the Spirit and hear in the Spirit and respond in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If I had one thing that I would indict fundamentalist over, above all of the things, I would indict fundamentalism, and for that matter, when I say fundamentalism, I mean, brother, when fundamentalists don't do it, nobody does it. We're the last vestige of hope this country has. But if I had one thing about which I would indict fundamentalists, it would be on our concept of what sin is. It would be over our concept of what great sin is. I want to make it very plain before I start. No sin is good. Every sin is bad. That's what I'd like to get over to you. Every sin is bad. You'll think that I'm making light of some sins that you think are terrible. No, I'm not. I think they're as terrible as you do. I just think there's some sins you don't think are very terrible that are as terrible as the sins we think are terrible. That's all. We have categorized sin. And we have, in so doing, we have lost the whole purpose of the creation of man and the redemption of man. Now, tonight I want to talk to you on the two greatest sins that a man can commit. Now, if I just, without reading any scripture, without giving you any forewarning, just stood up some Sunday and said, write on a piece of paper what you think are the worst sins that a man can commit, I'm sure we'd put down the same old sins. And I want to say again, no sin is to be taken lightly. And I am not trying to get you to take any sin that you hate with a passion lightly. I don't think you ought to hate it any less than you hate it. But I somehow wish we'd learn as God sees sin and learn what else we ought to hate, as well as the few sins that we've come to hate. But we would list, of course, the few sins that we think are terrible, and they are terrible. And don't anybody, of course nobody will, but nobody will honestly, will walk out of this place and say Brother Hiles ever makes light of any sin. I hate every sin, everything against the will of God, I hate. Every sin I hate was sin that put Jesus on the cross. It was sin that caused the nails in his hands and feet and the crown of thorns upon his brow. It was sin that caused the Savior to have his back turned, have the Father turn his back upon him. It was sin that caused the anguish and the horror of Calvary. And I hate sin with a passion, but I hate all sin with a passion. Now, what's the worst sin? Well, let God say. Let's don't quibble about it. Let's let God say. God gave us 10 commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy mother and thy father. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Those are the 10 commandments. Now, which is the worst? Which is the breaking of which of those commandments is the worst? Well, the answer is this. God tells us what the greatest sin is we can commit. Because the greatest sin one can commit is the breaking of the greatest commandment. So if we can find out what the greatest commandment is, we can find out what the greatest sin is that man can commit. We found a while ago in our passage, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and the other scriptures that includes a few other things also. But what he's saying is, with all of your fiber of your being, your body, your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit, all of it, you're to love the Lord thy God. And then he said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. Now, if that be the greatest commandment, and it is because he said it was, then whatever the greatest commandment is, the breaking of that greatest commandment is the greatest sin. So what is the greatest sin that man can commit? The sin of not loving God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit. Of course, you've got your little few pet sins that you don't like. Usually the ones you don't commit, by the way. But you will one of these days probably because you... pride cometh before a fall, the Bible says. But he that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. But I'm saying this. I'm saying you got a few sins that you think are the worst, and they are bad, and they are damnable, and God does hate them, but that's not all God hates. God said the greatest commandment of all is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And the breaking of that commandment is the greatest sin that mankind can commit. What's the second greatest sin? Don't have to wonder about that either. You say, I don't know what I think it is. Well, let's don't worry about what I think or you think. Let's find out what God thinks. God says the second is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, wait a minute. Are you listening to me? The first commandment and the greatest commandment is not just to love God. Doesn't say the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Doesn't say that. It goes beyond that and says you're supposed to love Him with all of your soul, with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your spirit, with all your being. That's what He's saying. With all of your being, you're supposed to love the Lord thy God. Now, the breaking of that commandment, I'm going to say it, the breaking of that commandment is worse than stealing. Because he said, this is the greatest commandment. You mean I'm to love my neighbor? How much? As myself. Yeah. You're supposed to love your neighbor. Well, you say to the house, who is my neighbor? Well, somebody else asked that a long time ago, too. They asked that, and it was a man who was a Samaritan who came by and helped the fellow who was a Jew, and he helped him, his enemy, the one who hated him, the one who had made him a second-class citizen. He came by and helped him and restored him to health. Who is your neighbor, your enemy? Who is your neighbor, the one that loves you and the one that hates you? Who is your enemy, the one that does you good and the one that does you ill? Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is anybody on the face of this earth, a creature of Almighty God. And if you do not love your neighbor as yourself,
You've committed a sin worse than stealing, worse than lying, worse than murder, worse than adultery, worse than covetousness. God said it. I didn't say it. Take issue with God about it. You Pharisees, take issue with God about it. I didn't say it. If this Bible be the Word of God, and if you can depend upon the words of the Savior Himself, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your being, and the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. Now, it doesn't say love your nice neighbor, it says love your neighbor. Doesn't say love your loving neighbor, says love your neighbor. Doesn't say love your friendly neighbor, says love your neighbor. Doesn't say love your kind neighbor, says love your neighbor. Doesn't say love your helpful neighbor, it says love your neighbor. It means that every single person on the face of God's green earth, I am to love as much as I love myself. And that's God's commandment. And Jesus said it's the second greatest commandment in the world. Now that means no matter what kind of arrow you shoot at me, I'm to love you back. That means no matter what kind of venom you shoot at me, I'm to love you back. That means no matter what kind of words you shoot at me, I'm to love you back. That means that no matter how you treat me, I'm to love you back. And that means no matter how you're treated by somebody else, you're to love them back. I don't mean love their soul and hate their guts either. As yourself. As yourself. As yourself. As yourself. As yourself. That's how much you're to love your neighbor. As yourself. Anything less than that is the greatest, second greatest sin a man can commit. Anything less than loving God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, with all your being, anything less than that is the greatest sin man can commit. Fundamentalists need a total revamping of their values right here on what I'm preaching about tonight. People say, Brother Hiles, you're voting anybody out of the church? No, I never have. Never will. Never will. Well, Brother Hiles, what if a person gets drunk, commits adultery? You going to vote him out of the church? I'd start where God starts. I'd start with the worst sin of all. What is the worst sin? The breaking of the greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment? Not, I should love the Lord thy God with all thy being. That's the greatest commandment. Then the second folks I'd vote out would be the folks that committed the second greatest sin in all the world. What is that? Breaking the second greatest commandment. What is that? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, I long for our people to love each other as ourselves. I'm not talking about, well, I love him, but wham! I'm not talking about that. That's paganism. That's heathenism. I'm saying we ought to say to our enemy, unload everything you've got. I'll return nothing but love. We ought to say to our enemy, shoot all the venom you have. I'll return nothing but love. I'll love you as I love myself. That's Bible Christianity. Anything less than that is not fundamental Christianity. The greatest sin you'll ever commit is the sin of not loving God with all your being. And the second greatest sin you ever commit is the sin of not loving your neighbor as yourself. There's something wonderful here. Follow me carefully. You know how many times it's mentioned in the Bible, love God with all your mind, heart, body, and soul? You know how many times that's mentioned in the Bible? 10. You know how many times loving your neighbor as yourself is mentioned in the Bible? 10. Thou shalt have no other gods before me is mentioned twice. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image is mentioned 3 times. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain is mentioned twice. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy is mentioned 7 times. Honor thy mother and thy father is mentioned 8 times. Thou shalt not kill is mentioned 5 times. Thou shalt not commit adultery is mentioned 5 times. Thou shalt not steal is mentioned 5 times. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor is mentioned 3 times. Thou shalt not covet is mentioned 4 times. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy being 10 times. Love thy neighbor as thyself 10 times. Why? God! Listen. I'll guarantee you the degree of emphasis that... No, doesn't the Bible say that every jot, every tittle here is the Word of God? And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father? God doesn't indiscriminately decide how many times He'll put certain things in the Bible. If God puts something in the Bible twice, He's underlining the first time. God puts something in the Bible three times, He's underlining twice the first time. If God puts something in the Bible 10 times, He's drawing a line under that 9 more times. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy being, and to not do it is the greatest sin you can commit, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, to not do it is the second greatest sin you can commit, by the very fact of how many times God puts in the Bible, and the fact that God said, this is the greatest commandment. Here's something very beautiful. Along these same lines, the Bible says that love is the fulfilling of the law. How many commandments are there? How many commandments? 10. How many times did God say, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy being? 10. He says that love is the fulfilling of the law. And actually, as far as mathematics is concerned, the love is the fulfilling of the law. Because for every one of the 10 commandments, there is a place in the Bible that says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy being. For every one of the 10 commandments, there is a place in the Bible that says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now you listen to me. It's time we've got Christianity around here. It's time that school teachers and parents of students learn to love each other. It's time the deacons learn to love each other. It's time the staff members learn to love each other. It's time the church members learn to love each other. And if you don't, you commit a sin worse than thou shalt not covet, worse than covetousness, worse than killing, worse than adultery. Why? Because you have broken the second of all the commandments. In God's name, let's love each other. In God's name, let's love Him. That's the greatest commandment of all. That's God's command. Thou shalt love Him. Now the question is, who does? Who here tonight loves God with all your being? No one. So what does that mean? That means that all of us have committed the worst sin that man can commit. So that leaves us no right to set in judgment on the rest of us. If I am guilty, and I am, and you're guilty, and you are, no matter how much piety you're sitting in there and squashing right now, and you are guilty of committing the greatest sin man can commit, you have no right to sit in judgment on somebody else. None at all. None. You never will till you awaken His likeness. When you awaken His likeness, you won't want to sit in judgment. Most of us, I want you to hear this carefully, most of us tonight are committing or in deep sin. All of us are. All of us are in the deepest sin that man can commit. And I am not minimizing the awfulness of the sin of lying, stealing, adultery, murder. I'm not minimizing any of those. I'm just saying it's time God's people got God's concept of sin and put sin in God's divine order. And God's divine order says the greatest commandment is to love God with all your being. And the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And since we cannot, there is not a single person in this room tonight who is qualified to judge any other person in this room tonight, including this preacher. Nobody is qualified. You have no right to point an accusative finger at anybody else. Because you sit there tonight in the deepest sin that man can commit. I said you sit there tonight in the deepest sin that man can commit. The best Christian in this room tonight is in the deepest sin that man can commit. You see the Savior walking through the church of Ephesus. Bible says He walked in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. The candlesticks of the 7 churches to whom He wrote. You see the Savior tonight in Revelation chapter 2 verses 1 through 7. You see Him walking in the church at Ephesus. He walks up and down the aisles of the church at Ephesus. He walks in the Sunday school classes of the church at Ephesus, or whatever they had like Sunday school then. He walks the choir practice of the church at Ephesus. He walks to the deacon's meeting of the church at Ephesus. He walks to the Sunday school teacher's meeting of the church at Ephesus. He walks to the youth activity of the church at Ephesus. He walks to the to the WMS of the church at Ephesus.
And the Savior said, you're a wonderful group in some respects.
He said, you still hate sin, certain sin. You still hate false teaching. But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I wonder what he says tonight as he walks through the church at Hammond. Wonder what he says. You reckon maybe he might say something like this about us? You reckon he might say something like this? You're certainly right on standards. And you're certainly right on doctrine. And you're certainly right on soul winning. And you're certainly right on the Bible. I mean the King James Bible. You're certainly right on the Bible. But I wonder if he wouldn't end it by saying, you don't love me like I wish you did. I want to say it. It would be worse for a deacon not to love Christ with all of his heart than it would be for him to smoke a cigarette. I hate smoking. God intended your nose to be a stovepipe, he'd made it out of brick and put it on the top of your head. I think it's one of the most stupid, idiotic things a man can do. But God didn't say the greatest commandment is thou shalt not smoke. It's time these non-smokers became lovers of God. And lovers of each other. It's time we made up with each other. It's time we got right with each other in our hearts. You said to the house, he won't do it. Okay, but hey, I don't care what he does to you. He cannot keep you from loving him. Can't do it. Can't do it. You can huff and puff. He can huff and puff all he wants to. But brother, God's command to you is love him with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. That's God's command. See him overlooking the city of Jerusalem. As he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I gather thee as a hen would gather her chicks, and thou wouldst not. I wonder tonight what he says as he looks over First Baptist Church of Hammond. I wonder if he gets the love he wants from the First Baptist Church of Hammond. I know that our God wants us to love him with all our beings, and I know that's totally impossible in the flesh. But I wonder if God doesn't get hungry for some loving. That's why God made you. God didn't build a race not to drink. God didn't want to one day say, I think I'll build me a race of people who won't drink. God did not make a race of people not to smoke. God did not build a race of people not to gamble. God built a race of people for His own glory, worship, love, praise, and honor. And pleasure. Now, why shouldn't we smoke? Because it doesn't honor Him. Why shouldn't we drink? Because it doesn't honor Him. Why should we try to keep the Ten Commandments as best we can? Because the breaking of those commandments will not honor Him. See Him talking to Peter. He's in his resurrection body. He, meaning Jesus. Peter's been out there fishing, going back to the old business. Since he's seen the Savior, he's cursed and swore and denied that he belonged to him. He has denied the faith. He's denied the church. He's denied the Savior. I'm not one of those. I'm not one of his. I don't belong to him. He goes back to the old fishing business. Jesus comes out. You know the wonderful story how that our Savior tells them to cast the net over here. You know the story. Peter is naked. All you get from God, the more clothes you take off. I don't care whether you believe it or not, it's true. I guarantee you, you can pretty well tell how far folks get from God this summer, but how much clothes they take off. They're around showing half your bosom and all your thighs on some beach somewhere. You don't love him very much.
Clouds, you're getting old. When are you going to quit preaching like you do? Brother, you're stuck. You're stuck. There's not one single thing I've preached in 29 years I've been pastor of this church I have any plans on quitting. Not one. You want to hire Tittered out of here and get some little fellow wears lace on his underwear and join his church so you won't hear any red-hot preaching and preaching against sin? You can find him around here. But as long as God gives me strength, I'm going to preach against evil and wrong and sin. All of it. All of it. All of it. All of it. Jesus comes to Peter. He said, "You're ruining my Easter. I wish I could ruin the Easter of all the pussyfooters in America. I'd like to see this once-a-year Christianity turned into once-a-day Christianity, everyday Christianity." Peter jumps in the water. He's naked. Jumps in the water. After a while, Jesus makes him some breakfast. Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Peter, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" Peter said, "Thou knowest I'm fond of you." Jesus said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" Peter said, "Jesus, you know I'm fond of you." Jesus said, "Peter, lovest, not likest, not fond, lovest thou me?" I wonder tonight what he'd say to you. Ask a question. Have you told him one time today that you love him? Huh? I wish somebody would invent windshield wipers for glasses. Have you told him one time? It does you good to find out that without glasses, I'm even more handsome than with glasses. Have you told him one time today that you love him? This is Sunday. Looks like that'd be the day you'd tell him most. This is Easter Sunday. Looks like that'd be the Sunday you'd tell him the most. Have you told him one time? What an awful sinner we are. How wicked we are. How filthy we are. How much in deep sin we are. You listen to me. The only reason that the sins of commission are wrong is because the sins of commission cause us to commit the sins of omission. We do not praise God because the world comes in our way. We do not love Him because the world comes in our way. God simply wants us not to do these things that we call wicked, the sins of commission, because God does not want us to commit the sin of omission, that sin of not loving Him. Let me tell you something. I long for the day when the people of First Baptist Church will love God like He deserves to be loved. I long for the day when we'll love each other as ourselves. Anything less than that is deep sin, wicked sin, vile sin, filthy sin, putrid sin, corrupt sin, the worst sin. Interesting to say that Jesus didn't say to Peter, "Why did you leave? Peter, Peter, why leavest thou me?" No. "Peter, why curseth thou me?" Because Jesus didn't make Peter not to curse. He made Peter to love him. "Lovest thou me?" Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon said, "Dear God, I want to love you so much that when I look up to heaven and say, I love you, God, you will look down to earth and say, I know it, Charles." It was Charles G. Finney who said, "Let's quit loving the devil." Somebody said, "Well, how do we love the devil?" He said, "By keeping his commandments." Let's quit keeping his commandments. Let's quit loving the devil. That's why I was created, was to love God. That's why you were created. And brother, I'm not going to miss the purpose of my creation. I told God this afternoon, I said, I just wondered. First I said, "I love you." For about 30 minutes, I did nothing but tell him I loved him. And I said, "God, you know I love you. And you know you're a wonderful God. And you know that." And then I said, "Dear God, I wonder how many of thy people today are telling you that. We're too busy observing Easter, eating, drinking, being merry. We're too busy observing Easter, picnicking, playing, frolicking. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to get back to obeying the great commandment of loving God with all of our being and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Somewhere I read this story, I'm not sure where. Somewhere in my reading of some books recently. Back in World War II, there was a lieutenant in a certain paratroop division. They were in France. A little 8-year-old French boy, nobody knew to whom he belonged. His parents obviously had been killed in the war, nobody knew. Had come to this particular company of soldiers led by this lieutenant. And they had adopted this 8-year-old boy as their mascot, just a little tyke, 8 years old. They adopted him as their mascot. For months and months and months, he lived there with them. And then the day came when they had to part company with him. And they tried to brace him for it, and they tried for days to get him ready for it. And finally they said, "Son, we've got to say goodbye." And the lieutenant explained to him why, and the little boy tried to be brave and left. And suddenly, the little boy ran back and threw his arms around the ankles of the lieutenant and looked up at him and said, "Sir, I can't go away. I belong to you. I belong to you. And I belong to him. I belong to him. I can't go away. I belong to him. And I want him to get the love from me that he deserves." You say, "Preacher, how can you do this?" That's easy. We love him because he first loved us. That's why. How do you love God? Realize he loves you. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. The more you dwell on his love, the more you'll love him. The more you think about his love, the more you'll love him. The more you read about his love, the more you'll love him. You just take about 30 minutes sometime and turn the dirty box off and burn the magazines and throw away the newspapers and turn the radio off and put you what you call playing around and close your mouth for a while and get along with God and for 30 minutes do nothing but realize he loves me. He loves me. And I guarantee you, you'll be baptized with the love for him. We love him because he first loved us. That's why we love him. The problem is, you never bask in the sunlight of his love for you. Think of his love. Think of the expressions of his love. Read of his love. Sing of his love. Bask in his love. That's what's wrong with us. We do not ever, we hardly ever ask a question. Ask a question. How many of you have one time today thought, "God loves me. The Creator loves me. The King of Kings loves me." Oh, I love that little illustration I've used so often. Mrs. John Rice and I were sitting back in the back of a big auditorium one night. I was to preach after Dr. Rice finished preaching, and Mrs. Rice was back there, and she started scribbling on a piece of paper. And she had passed it over to me, and I read it. And here's what she said. "See that man up there preaching to all these people? He loves me. He loves me. You see that one that causes that sun to rise in the east tomorrow morning? He loves me. You see that one that holds the worlds in space tonight? He loves me. You see the one that dropped the snowflakes upon the top of the Rocky Mountains like whipped cream on a chocolate sundae? He loves me. You see the one that dropped the lakes of Minnesota like 10,000 teardrops of deity so man could look up while looking down? He loves me.
You see the one that took his heavenly brush and painted the seven-hued rainbow? He loves me. You see the one that painted the tulip? He loves me. You see the one that sprayed the scent on the gardenia? He loves me. You see the one that holds the moon in place? He loves me. You see the one who made the sun, the stars? He loves me. You see the one who gives us the air we breathe and the water we drink and the food we eat? He loves me. And because I know He loves me, I love Him. That's why I love Him, because I bask in the sunlight of the fact that He loves me. I'm not going to spend a day of my life without taking at least 30 minutes of it basking in the sunlight of His love, and 30 more minutes praising Him and loving Him because He loves me. The thing I want more with my life than anything else, I want to love Him like He ought to be loved. And the thing that I want most for you, I want you to learn to love Him. Good night. Take some time for Him. Get to know Him. Bask in the sunlight of His love. You know, Brother Hines, you think that the regeneration group is all right? I can't think of any of them. Now, you think, Brother Hines, that... what's some of those borderline ones, Dr. Jorgensen? Where's Dr. Jorgensen? What's those borderline ones? You think this is all right? Well, if you've got to come and say you think this is all right, I can answer you before I hear it. No, it's not all right. I'll tell you something that is all right. Hey, teenagers, I can tell you some music that is all right. Why don't you sing? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth. Sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first... I'll tell you some good music, teenagers. That's right. No question about it. I'll tell you what they are. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. That's pretty good. That's okay. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. You sing songs like that and get this book and find out, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us. God loves us. And God is love. Read about it. You'll love Him back. Well, in His love. Tell you one little story and I'll close. Last summer I was driving by a certain house. Just so happened, driving down the street, and happened to think one of our young couples lives there. And I'll tell you, I won't tell you who they were, but I'll tell you about them. She was looking for a boyfriend. She came to my office and she said, "Brother Hiles, why don't folks date me?" And I said, "I don't know. I think they're crazy." And I said, "I'll keep my eyes open for you." Not long after that, a fellow walked in and said, "Brother Hiles, I'm having a little hard time getting a date. You got anybody in mind?" I said, "Yeah, I got somebody in mind. Sure have." I brought him over to my office. They came to my office door. They never met each other. And I said to her, Susie, her name was not Susie, his name was not Bill, but I'll call him Susie and Bill. I said, "Susie, I want you to meet Bill. Bill, I want you to meet Susie." And I said, "If you'd ever talk to each other again in your life, I want you to go in there in that waiting room and I want you to talk for 5 minutes. That doesn't do it. Nothing clicks. Go on home. Forget it." Fellas, it don't take a lifetime to fall in love. But you know what? Neither one of them even thanked me. By the time they left, they forgot I was there. By the time they got in the waiting room, they were engaged nearly. That's a little exaggeration. No, it's a big lie. But they did start dating. And they did fall in love, if whatever that is. They fell or
Maybe they walked on purpose into love. I don't know. That's what I hate thinking. You get tripped into love. Walking down the street, oh! Help! Too late. You done fell. But, back to my story. They got married. And I was driving down the street one day and didn't think about them. But all of a sudden I thought, hey, that's where they live. And so I looked at the house and the living room drape was open. And they were sitting there on the sofa, necking. Yeah. So I stopped the car. Went up to the window. No, I didn't stop the car. And I got to thinking. I had a part in that. I did not give him love for her, nor give her love for him. But I sort of taught them how to love each other. And I'd like to think that tonight, when I go to sleep, I'd like to think that maybe several hundred or thousands of you are having a little love fest with Christ. And I'd like to stop and think that maybe I had a part in making you love each other like you should. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want you to love Him. That's what He made you for. And that's what He wants you to do. And then I want you to love your neighbor. You love the neighbor and you unlove the neighbor. Your friend neighbor and your enemy neighbor. Your kind neighbor and your unkind neighbor. As you love yourself. To whatever extent you do, you keep the greatest commandment and the second greatest commandment. And to whatever extent you don't, you commit the greatest sin that man can commit. And the second greatest sin that man can commit. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy heart. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Father, if I thought tonight that this discussion could get you some loving, I'd really be pleased.